Galatians chapter 3, and we will read verses 10 to 14. Paul writes, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Our text today speaks of a curse. And if you remember back in chapter 1, Paul began his letter by speaking of a curse. Because there were some people in the churches in Galatia who were teaching false doctrine, and Paul said that they were cursed for what they taught and what they believed. Now these people who were teaching this false doctrine in Galatia, they were not Gnostics who had come from the East. They were not Muslims who had come from Arabia. Well, Muslims didn't exist back then. They were not philosophers from Athens. They were Jewish Christians, with a small c, most probably from Jerusalem. And the shocking thing about the book of Galatians is that Paul pronounces a curse not upon the atheists, not upon the Gnostics, not upon these other false religions, but upon people who call themselves Christians, yet teach a different gospel. What were these Jewish Christians teaching, these men who we call the Judaizers? What were they teaching? They were saying, in order to be accepted by God, you have to be Jewish, you have to get circumcised. They said the basis upon which God will accept you is if you follow the law. And Paul says that teaching diminishes the grace of God and basically makes the cross of Christ of no effect. He said at the end of chapter 2 that if you believe that, that you can become righteous by some work that you do, why would Jesus have to die on the cross? Jesus' death on the cross would be in vain if we could do something to save ourselves. Now, the Judaizers fall into the same category as many so-called Christian groups today who give you a long list of things that you must do in order to be saved. But Paul teaches that our only hope is Christ and faith alone in Christ and not our own works and our own achievements. You will notice in verse 10, the first word is "for," because. So this is a continuation of what we've seen in the last couple of weeks. So let me just give you a quick review of the previous 9 verses. In chapter 3, in the first 5 verses, Paul rebukes the Galatians for even considering going and getting circumcised in order to be saved. And he basically said to them, "How did you receive the Spirit? How did you get saved? Was it by works of the law? Was it by faith?" And clearly, it was by faith. And then last week, in verses 6 to 9, we saw that Paul says, you know, you're saved through faith, just as Abraham was justified through faith. So we are also justified through faith. And he said in verse 9, "So then those who are of faith," notice that phrase, "those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." So in verse 9, you have those who are of faith receive a blessing, the blessing that Abraham received. And now in verse 10, there's a contrast, speaking of those who are of works, who receive a curse. That's the contrast. Those who are of faith, meaning those who trust in God alone for their salvation, they receive a blessing. Those who are of works, those who depend upon their own works in order to be saved, they receive a curse. Look at verse 10. It says, "For as many are as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Paul says anyone who relies on the law is cursed. And he brings proof of that from the Old Testament. A good Christian, he says, let's see what the scripture says on this. And he quotes from Deuteronomy 27. That's the quote, Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Deuteronomy 27 is a fascinating passage where before the Israelites go into the land of promise, God says to them, when you go in, this is what I want you to do. I want you, you're going to go to this area where there's two mountains, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And I have not been there personally, but I got onto Google Earth, and it's a very interesting way that it's shaped. You have two mountains facing one another, and they're almost like two amphitheaters the way they are. And God said, this is what you're going to do. Six tribes are going to go into the one side of the mountain, the other six are going to go into the other mountain. And the Levites will pronounce blessings and curses. And the people are to yell back and forth to one another, Amen! Now, interestingly enough, in Deuteronomy 27, it doesn't mention any of the blessings. It gives a long list of the curses. And it's curses like, for example, it's, the Levites would say, cursed is everyone who makes an idol. And the people were supposed to say, Amen! Cursed is the person who dishonors his father and mother. And they would go, Amen! Cursed is the person who takes a bribe. And the people would go, Amen. And the last one, the last curse in that list is cursed is everyone who does not follow all of the law. And the people said, Amen. And you're like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Well, they didn't say wait a minute. I'm saying wait a minute. Surely it can't mean cursed is the person who doesn't follow everything in the law. I can't mean that. I mean, who follows everything in the law, right? That can't be what it says, can it? Well, let's look at this verse again. Look at verse 10. Look at the quotation. Let's start going backwards from at the end of the verse where it talks about you got to follow those things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So you got to do the things written in the book of the law. Okay, how many of the things in the book of the law do I need to do? All things. All things which are written in the book of the law. You mean I can't just pick and choose the laws that I want to obey? No, it says you got to follow all things in the book of the law. Okay. For how long am I supposed to be obeying this law? Well, it says, curses everyone who does not continue. Continually. Do all the things in the law. Otherwise, you're cursed. Isn't that what it says? The law demands obedience. Do you know any government, any law that says, if you don't want to follow some of the laws, that's fine. I'm not talking about whether they enforce them. See, here's the thing. You can look at government law, but because you have police who isn't there, and you have government who doesn't enforce them, but God sees everything, and God does enforce the law, unlike humans. Okay? So, Paul says, look, the law says, the law of God says, you've got to keep everything, or you're cursed. Now, Galatians, are you sure you want to leave the gospel for this? The law does not say, well, just do whatever you want. If you went and you robbed a bank, or let's pick something smaller than that. If you went and robbed a periphery on the side of the road, and the police comes and arrests you, you can't say, well, I didn't kill anyone. So, it's not a matter of, you don't have to break every single law in the book in order to be punished. You break one law, you've broken the law. Listen to these words from James chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. James says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, and now he's speaking theoretically because we don't just stumble in one point, we've broken it many times, but he says, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you've become a transgressor of the law. It's very simple. The law, the example that I've used often, the law is like a chain made up of individual commandments. And imagine that you're holding on to that chain. You don't have to break every single link on that chain in order to fall. You break one, down you go. Okay? It's not a matter of breaking every commandment. The issue is, if you break one commandment, you have broken God's law. And any law that you have broken against God deserves to be punished. If you want to be saved through the law, Paul says, look, if you want to be saved through the law, you've got to keep it all continually. The law requires perfection. And since no one has done that, the answer, his statement is, anyone who tries to get saved that way is cursed. The curse of the law comes upon you because all have sinned, all have broken the law, and therefore all are under the sin. We sin daily. There are people who try to think that they have become so holy. And I know that once we become Christians, the Holy Spirit starts cleaning us up. But throughout our lives, just we sin all the time. We sin in word, we sin in deed, we sin in thought, we sin in motive. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says, there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Romans 3, if you want to go to Romans 3, Paul brings this entire slew of verses, one after the other, where he just says, and he's quoting the Old Testament, and he's saying, no one is good, no one is righteous. All have turned away. No one seeks after God. There is no one righteous. No, not one. And climaxing in verse 23 of Romans 3, where he says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Scripture says that everyone has sinned. Everyone is a sinner. And if you don't like what Scripture says, just look at the world around you. Look at history. Look at the violence in the world. Look at people hating their neighbor. Look at what happens in families. Look at what happens in churches. Look at your own self. I know there are people who say, I've never done anything bad. I've met a couple like that. But if you're going to be honest, look at yourself. Do you ever lie? Have you ever lied? Oh, come on. Everyone lies. Well, you know, Scripture says that Christ is the truth and Satan is the father of lies. So if you're lying, you're on Satan's side rather than Jesus. Have you ever stolen anything? Well, maybe when I was a kid I took something, but that doesn't really count. Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Have you ever said something about God that you shouldn't have? We are all sinners. And Paul says, look, if you're relying on the law to be saved, you're under a curse because you've broken the law. It is impossible to be saved through the law. But even if you attempted to now, first of all, you couldn't because you've already broken the law a million times, so that ship has sailed. But even if you tried now, you think you can make it through the day? Without one impure thought? Without one word that you should not have said? Jesus said every idle word is going to be judged. The law cannot save you. The law brings a curse. Now, quick side note, this does not mean that the law is bad, okay? Whenever I say that you cannot be saved by the law, people may think, oh, sir, you're speaking badly about the law. No, I'm not. The law is good and holy. People are the problem who don't keep the law, okay? Now, so, since all who rely on the law are under a curse, since the law cannot save us, how are we going to be saved? Well, that is through faith in Christ. Look at verse 11 and 12. It says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. He gives us a couple of options here. He speaks of how a person is justified through faith. First of all, verse 11. He quotes from Habakkuk. I don't know how you want to pronounce it. Habakkuk, chapter 2. In its original context, Habakkuk, which is a great book, by the way, you should read it. Habakkuk is talking about the Babylonians who are coming to destroy Jerusalem, and how the Babylonians were loved their own power, thought they were so great they could conquer the world, and were trusting in their own power and self-sufficiency. And Habakkuk said that is not how people become accepted by God, by thinking they can trust in themselves, but those who have faith will live. The just shall live by faith, not those who trust themselves, but those who trust in God. This verse from Habakkuk chapter 2, the just shall live by faith. It was one of Martin Luther's, perhaps even his favorite verse. You read the story about Martin Luther, where he talks about how, you know, Martin Luther used to be a Roman Catholic monk, and he tried to be the best Christian he could be. And he tried to obey the law as much as he could. He would beat himself. He would whip himself. He would go to confession every day. One time he was in confession for 6 hours. And people were like, Martin, just calm down, all right? It's okay. It's cool. You know, yeah, okay, you're a sinner, but we're all sinners. Relax. But he couldn't relax. Here's something about Martin Luther. Before he became a monk, he was training to be a lawyer. And he was one of the brightest minds in Europe. People knew about Martin Luther before he became a monk. His father was not very happy with him. He abandoned law school to become a monk. But he knew about the law. And he said, you can't just say, oh, it doesn't matter. The law condemns you. I've tried to obey it, and I've tried and tried and tried, but I'm still a sinner. One day someone asked Martin Luther, they said, because he was just, you know, in a state, and someone said to him, Martin, do you love God? And he said, you know what, sometimes I hate God. Sometimes I hate God because his standard is too high and I can't meet it and I'm going to go to hell. But then Martin Luther was reading the scriptures in Romans chapter 1 where it says, the just shall live by faith. That's how you will live. That's how you will attain life, through faith. And he said, when I saw that, it was like I was reborn. It was like I was going through the gates of paradise. So Paul says, look, even in the Old Testament, in Habakkuk, it says that the just shall live by faith. And then he says in verse 12, the law is not of faith. That's a strange statement. He says, the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. When he says the law is not of faith, he's simply saying that the law is a whole different concept from faith. The law doesn't function on faith. The law functions on doing. Do the works. Do these things. That's what the law requires of you. And he quotes Leviticus 18, where it says, the man who does them shall live by them. Let me read you the entire section there in Leviticus 18 so you see what's going on. This is in the section where God has given a bunch of laws, it's Leviticus, and it says, you shall observe my judgments, and keep my ordinances, to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does them, he shall live by them. Okay? The law says, keep the law and you'll live. Okay? But the problem is that no one keeps it. See, in theory, if you kept all of the law, you'd live. But no one does it. And that's why all are under the curse. That's the problem. Paul says, how do you want to get saved? You want to get saved through faith or by works? Because you're doomed if you try that. Look at verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Paul comes back to the idea of curse. It's like he's moved straight from verse 10, how the law brings a curse. And now, if we are cursed because we've broken the law, our only hope is that curse is removed. Well, how does that curse get removed? Well, that happens through Christ on the cross. He says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Redeemed, exagorase. He has bought us, literally. Remember in Scripture says you are bought with a price. 1 Peter chapter 1 says you were not redeemed, you were not bought with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Paul says, Christ has saved us from this curse. How? By becoming a curse for us. And he quotes Deuteronomy 21. Notice, like, in every verse here, there's quotes from the Old Testament. He quotes from Deuteronomy 21, where it says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And he applies this to Jesus. Now, if you go to Deuteronomy 21, the passage is talking about the execution of a criminal. When that criminal is executed, they were to hang him up on a tree, just for a few hours, not overnight. But they were to hang him up, public display, to show that the curse of God was upon this person. And that's why he was executed. Now Paul says, Jesus took the curse for us. Like it says in Scripture, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Now, what you need to realize is, this verse from Deuteronomy 21, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, is one of the main reasons, is one of the reasons that for 2,000 years, Jews have said that Jesus is not the Messiah because of this verse. Because they say, surely the Messiah cannot be cursed. Jesus was hung on a tree. Criminals are hung on a tree. And so, since to be hung up on a tree means that you're cursed by God, surely Jesus could not be the Messiah because the Messiah would not be cursed by God. Yet, something that I find very interesting in the New Testament is that the apostles don't try and shy away from this. They don't try and hide that. They don't say, okay, well, let's kind of ignore Deuteronomy 21. They point it out all the time. Paul here says, yeah, Jesus became a curse for us because cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In Acts chapter 5, when the apostles were arrested and they're taken before the Sanhedrin, Peter says to Caiaphas and Annas and all these other crooks who killed Jesus, and he says to them, you killed Jesus. You hung him on a tree. Why did he use those words? Because he's trying to bring you back to Deuteronomy 21. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. And you're like, this can't be what I think it's saying. They can't be saying that the Messiah was cursed. Look, do you remember last week we talked about Abraham? And the Scripture says that Abraham was accounted as righteous. And we talked about how, was Abraham righteous in and of himself? No. But he was accounted, through faith, considered, and treated as though he was righteous. Flip it over now. Jesus was righteous. Jesus was holy. But for us, he was considered, he was accounted, he was treated as a criminal, as a sinner, and got punished in our place. This is what 2 Corinthians 5:21 talks about when he says, God took him who knew no sin and made him to be sin for us, that we in him may become the righteousness of God. Through faith, there is this exchange that occurs. Here's what happens on the cross. God deals with Jesus as though he had lived my life and punishes him instead of me. But not only that, God then looks at me, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and treats me the way that Jesus deserves to be treated. The blessings that are supposed to come upon Christ came upon me. And the curse that was supposed to come on me for breaking the law, Jesus takes that in my place. Jesus became a curse, it says, for us. Doesn't even say that a curse fell upon him. It says he became a curse for us. Almost like, you know how God is loving, so we say God is love. Jesus was so identified with this curse that it says he became a curse. a curse for us. Jesus bore the sins of his people. Paul, who was a blasphemer and a persecutor, Jesus was punished for that. Peter, who denied Christ, Jesus was punished for that. David, who was an adulterer and a murderer, Jesus was punished for that. And all of our sins, Jesus was punished for that. There's a reason why when Jesus is on the cross, everything goes black. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because the curse was upon him. He didn't deserve the curse. He didn't sin. There was nothing that he was perfectly holy and just. But the sin that we deserved, the curse that we deserved, fell upon him as he died in our place. And that becomes ours. His righteousness becomes ours, and we are justified through faith. Finally, verse 14, he says, all this happens so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Here Paul summarizes everything that we've seen thus far in chapter 3. Paul has already spoken of the blessing that was promised to Abraham, and it says that comes upon all who have the faith of Abraham, not just Jews, but Gentiles also, like the Galatians, like you and me. He had also spoken about the Holy Spirit in the first few verses, how the Holy Spirit comes upon those who have faith. And he ties all that up in verse 14 and says, all these blessings, the blessings that come upon those who have the faith of Abraham, justification, forgiveness of sins, the giving of the Holy Spirit, all these come upon those who have faith. Not upon those who do the works of the law. You don't receive this blessing because of your association with Israel, but your association with Christ. And it is through faith alone and faith in Christ that we receive these blessings. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.